Well, Father, Lord God, I just pray that you just lead us in worship this morning, Lord. And as I pray every single Sunday, Lord, because I genuinely mean it, Father, I pray that as we do come here to worship you, Father, and as we come here to learn your word, Lord God, I pray that we are able to lay everything down, Lord. Anything that can be distracting right now, Father, we give to you. Father, we pray that you help us with self-control, just to focus. And I pray that we come here hungry and wanting to learn, Father. Anything that we've been battling all week, Lord God, I pray that we lay that down and give it to you. And I pray, Father, that you speak to us and you guide us, Lord. And I pray that we'll listen. We just pray for your spirit to be so strong here today, Lord God. True that has been in my life, Lord God. I really need you daily, Father. I find myself so many times just being skeptical, Lord, or just either having anger, Lord, or Father, I find myself just disappointing you all the time, Lord. But then I realize a lot of these things I can't do in my own strength, and most of the time I'm not asking you to help me. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, for anyone here and just for myself, Lord, that we keep crying out to you, Lord. And we ask you to help us with all of our faults and all of our shortcomings, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you help us just be more like you. And to do that, as I always say, we have to have less of us. that amazing that our identity is in the Lord? We're part of His family. He has His print on us. No longer are any of us without a father or without a mother. We have all of the love and all of the tools and we're given everything. We're given eternal life. And I pray that as we walk through this world, that we show that we are sons and daughters of Christ. That we can show people that we belong to God's family. That we stand out and we're separated. That we don't do the things that the world does. Not that we're perfect, but when we do fall short, we repent. We don't have that pride rise up in us. And then if we have past sins that hold us in their strongholds, that we let those go. We don't keep living in them. Father, Lord God, I pray that we stand out, Lord, that we stand separated, Father. And although I'm not perfect, even close, I do thank you, Lord God, that when I'm able to share my testimony, people are like, there's no way, that wasn't you. And that's your fruit, Lord God. That's you living in me, Christ. It's not Amy. If I didn't allow you to guide me and to teach me and to correct me, I would be just a horrible sinner living in that sin, so unhappy and so miserable, feeling like I can't do it. But you've changed me, and I pray that for everyone here, Lord God. Just like with my mom, Lord God, she was miserable and unhappy for pretty much her whole life. But Father, when she gave her heart to you, she was almost unrecognizable. I was waiting for the jig to be up, but Father, it was so sincere, and she loved you so much. And I pray, Lord God, we can have those transformations, that someone doesn't look at us and say, yep, same old so-and-so, but they can say, wow, what happened to them? And either they're going to be drawn to it, or they're going to be turned away by it, but there should be a reaction.
It's who I am.
what better words than to say, I want to get my eyes off of me, Father. I think, you know, we walk through this world and we think about how everything's going to affect us. What about me? And I think, and I'm guilty of that too, a lot. I'm so tired. What about me? I need a break. Me. And, you know, sometimes we do, you know, but I think that a healthy way to look at it is, how is this affecting other people? You know, how is this, when I'm all exhausted and I'm tired and I have attitude, how is this affecting my kids? You know, how is this affecting my husband? He's working really hard. You know, I think if we don't neglect ourselves, the Lord's not going to neglect us. He's going to take care of us. So I think if we put others first, and Lord, help me do that, not to say it, but if we're putting others first, what joy, how amazing that feeling is. And then we don't worry about ourselves so much. And in a way, it's kind of putting trust in the Lord, knowing that He's going to take care of us. Because even when we try to do that, we kind of fail ourselves all the time. Us in the world, and the things that we used to belong to, Lord God, will grow so dim that we don't even miss them, Father. I pray, Lord God, that we are only solely seeking you. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Father. I pray, Lord God, for your Spirit once again just to lead us and guide us, and I pray that we will feel your Spirit speak to us this morning.
Babies, love to hear the teens, love to hear the adults, love to hear the older folks. Love to hear young people.
Yeah.
Let's take a minute. I know we just prayed, but I'm just going to pray again and just forgive me. For Father, we just give you this time, Lord. Whatever you want spoken here, Lord God, I pray that Lord, that we feel the freedom to speak, Lord God. Whatever you want spoken to us, Lord, that we would receive with open ears and an open heart, Lord God. Lord, anything that's from you, Lord, whether it's from up here, Lord God, on the altar, Lord, or in the congregation, Lord, whatever is from you that we would receive, Lord, or during the worship, or maybe eating a donut outside talking to somebody. Whatever, Lord, whatever is from you that we would receive in our heart. And Lord, whatever is not from you, just put that aside. Lord, we pray for your blessing, Lord, on the rest of the service, Lord God. And again, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to what your Holy Spirit has to say to us, Lord God. And we ask this in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Well, we're glad you're here. We don't have any fancy PowerPoint today, so if I forget something, then just shout it out. So a couple quick things. First, do you want to mention the baby shower?
Sure, yeah, there's a baby shower.
Hello.
And the slide was up before.
Oh, was it? I didn't even know. I'm sorry.
I know, it was great. I wasn't paying attention. I'll talk about it again.
We can do that. Is that it? That's
no, it will be.
There we go.
See, we're very casual here, folks. Whatever.
Any questions, you can call or text me.
So it's here at Home Fellowship Church. Yeah. Somebody's having a baby? That's amazing. I didn't
Amanda,
notice anyone present. How do we find out what she needs to know?
In the invitations, does it say where you're registered at? Yeah, she's registered at Walmart.
Okay, and it's going to be 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and you just bring a dish to share. Okay, and that's going to be on the 27th. Wait.
No. That's
October 1st. I saw it. I read it. Saturday, October 1st. Okay.
Apparently, some invitations I put August 1st.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
Well, we're early.
My kids are
We'll be really early. Okay, and a couple other things just to make sure I get everything this week. And again, if there's something else, this Tuesday is not the women's. This Tuesday is the men's. And we are going through the book of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're going to have a
dinner a la Ray. Okay. All right. What to do when you're fighting on the wrong side? Okay. Good. All right. It's been good. It's been a lot of fun. And that's going to be what time, Gary?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock for dinner, and then 6:30 for Bible study, or thereabouts, and 5:30 for frisbee. Okay. If you're so interesting, guys. Let's see. Wednesday is youth. It's youth group at Manatee County Youth for Christ. And then Thursday, not this Thursday, but I have to tell you, I have to stop and tell you, okay, we this past week we started our first King study in the Old Testament, and it was awesome. Man, I got to tell you guys, it was, I don't know how many people were here, but there was such a spread of food. Meatball subs and salads and stuff like that. Not that you would come for the food, but it was such a wonderful time of fellowship. Wasn't it? I mean, just a good teaching, good discussion, good sharing. So if you guys want to go a little bit deeper in the Word, we're going to be going through, starting at the beginning of next month, we're going to be alternating going through the Book of Kings every other week on Thursday. And then we're going to be doing a topic like anxiety, how to deal with anxiety biblically, how to deal with fear biblically, how to deal with kids biblically and stuff like that. And so I just want to encourage you. That was super, super, and I'm not even just saying this. In fact, hey, it was so awesome. I couldn't believe how many people were volunteering. I was so blessed. And I'm not just saying that to encourage you, so don't feel like, dang, I missed it. You know, now I'm being guilted. There's zero guilt. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So, but all I'm saying, it was just an awesome time of fellowship, an awesome time of friendship. I tell you, I loved it. That's all I can say. So thank you guys. And come if the Lord's leading you. And if he's not, then, you know, stay home. It's okay. Okay, and then Friday is this Friday forum. Is that correct? And that's over at your house? Okay. And that's what time? 7. So Friday forum is 7 p.m. Okay. Is there anything else that I've forgotten that somebody's going to shout out and yell at me?
Potluck next week.
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah! And there is a potluck next week after church at the Weaver's house. That's great. And it's a no-theme theme.
Yep. Bring your favorite dish.
Bring your favorite, just a dish, empty. Next Sunday. Okay, yeah. Oh, hey, wow, George, you're good, man. Okay, all right, is there, good, thank you. Next Sunday after church, so just bring a dish to share. We'll have a lot of fun with the kids. It's just very family-friendly hangout. So, okay. Does anybody want to share? There's zero pressure, okay? But if anybody wants to share something that they learned in the women's study before we get started in the teaching today, I just want to give you an opportunity to share. If not, and we can do this over this week and next week, but if there's anything you want to share, I just want to give you an opportunity. I know I didn't remind anybody. So if there's anything that you feel like you'd want to share from that women's Bible study that you just finished, then you're welcome to share.
There was a CD for it. I only caught the one.
Okay.
But can we get the CD?
Can you get the CDs, the DVDs?
Yes.
It's actually on YouTube.
Oh, it is?
On YouTube.
Yes, I have a link.
Nice. Great.
Okay.
Great.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just pull up her name good. And then the specific, you know,
okay.
Like the Armor of God and that link.
Priscilla.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Good morning. So they had asked if we had anything to share on things that we had learned through the Armor of God study. And this isn't really something I learned, but a testimony. So the second week is Belt of Truth, where we, you know, just took a look at how we related truth and how we stood in truth and the truth of God. And so I have children. I don't know if you guys know this. And they live with their dad. And it was the day before my youngest daughter's birthday. And I called her dad and said, I'd like to talk to them for their birthday. And he said, I'll let you talk to your daughters if you lie and tell them you haven't been trying to call them and that you don't want to see them. And I refused. You know, I refused to lie for him. More importantly, I want to lead a Christ-filled life. And I'm not lying for anybody anymore, not even for myself. So I stood firm in that, and I prayed, and I spoke with Shirley, and I spoke with Darren. And I prayed, and I begged, and I pleaded with God to just let me talk to them. You know, it's their birthday. And so the next day comes, and I still did not get to talk to my daughters. And I was kind of mad at God, you know? A couple days went by, and I still hadn't heard from them or talked to them. And a week had gone by, and still nothing. And then I received a phone call from their father, who not only was going to let me talk to them, but was bringing them down to see me. And I hadn't seen my daughter since 6 months. So God works miracles, you know? And all you have to do is trust and pray and believe in him and do the right thing because he will abundantly take care of all of us. And that's all I wanted to share today.
That's a lot.
Amen.
Well, I think we're done with service. That's pretty much the message. Good word. Anybody else want to share anything?
Yes.
No pressure. Zero pressure. Sometimes it's scary. Thanks for sharing that. Right. Sure. All right. I'll ask you again next week if you want. That was a stretch. So, okay. Mark, will you come up here for a second? Gary, I'm going to ask you to come up here too. Have a seat, Mark, for a second. So last week, okay, for those of you who don't know, we go through books of the Bible here. Normally we've been going through the book of Samuel and the men's group. We did the armor of God in the women's group. I'm going through the book of Romans here at church, and we did Romans chapter 8. Well, we didn't really do Romans chapter 8. We did one verse. But wasn't it awesome?
Yeah.
That's so rich. That one thing. That was so, so rich. If we could grab a hold of that one verse in our heart, it will change the way we live our Christian life. And so that, and we were talking about being saved and being in Christ. And you guys remember that Old Testament picture of the ark we showed, you know, and it's sealed. Remember with the kofar, with the atonement inside and out. What a picture of us being in Christ. And so Mark did a teaching that he did for the youth, and I missed out on most of it because I was outside talking to other youth and encouraging them. But Tom saw it and said it was good. But it had to do with Christ in us. And so I asked Mark if he wouldn't mind coming and sharing this Sunday, since we talked about being in Christ and how we're sealed and covered. And just like those folks in the ark, we're saved and kept through all the winds and the waves. I want to also talk about Christ in us. And so I wanted to ask Mark to come up here. He had a great illustration with the bean pot, and I just saw the tail end of it. I wanted to come and share that with us. And so I'd like, Gary, if you wouldn't mind praying over us and him. I'm going to hand you the microphone. I know it's uncomfortable, but then we'll just see what God does.
Heavenly Father, sometimes it's hard for us to relate to a God who can create the universe and yet still take up residence in us through the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, now I ask that this time that you would use your words speaking through Mark, and that so that we might see your face, Lord God, so that we would see our relationship with you, see how you care for us, and what we mean to you. Father, I ask that you'd use this time to glorify your name, Lord, and be a blessing to your people. And Father, I ask that we would all feel your presence here in a personal, life-changing way, that we might all leave here an hour or so from now saying that we're not the same as when we came in. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Put your hand upon Mark and every word that comes from his mouth, that there would be nothing but you, Lord, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Only Jesus would come from him today. And we thank you again for what you're going to do, Lord. Let it be glorious in your Son. In the mighty name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Am I on, George? Yes. Bring the Bible. Bible. I need a couple of guys to help me. Joe, would you do this, please? Josh, would you pass these out?
Yes.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, the Lord moved on my heart that everyone should have an opportunity to write something down. When we come here on Sundays, to hear him speak to our hearts. And that's what these are for today, because I have prayed and been praying, and not just today or this week, but that the Lord would speak to each of our hearts when we're here. And if you need a pen, we have plenty of pens here. And some of you like to text yourself the messages, the notes, and all this kind of stuff. And I really think that's a great thing.
But I've got today's message here on this 3x5 card. And the Lord spoke to my heart today on the way here. He says, Mark, I want you to laminate that, and I want you to be able to put it in your pocket and pull it out anytime, any place. And that 3x5 card can be that significant for you too if, I repeat, if you have an expectation to hear a word from Him. And when you hear that word, be that a scripture verse, or a word of encouragement, or something that someone else has gone through, write it down, because you're able to keep this with you and able to draw on it any time. You can put it on the on your visor. You can put it on your bathroom mirror. You can put it anywhere. You can't do that with a cell phone. You can't instantly call it up. But with a 3x5 card, it's right there. Okay? Right there, Joe. That's fine. Now, I'm going to say in advance, some of you have heard part of this. Some of you, the youth, have heard most of it. So please bear with me. It's going to be a little bit of a repeat on certain things. Okay?
That's good.
Well, you know, I was in sales for over 30 years, and I did learn one thing. And that is that in order for people to get something, you have to hear it a minimum of 6 times. So the youth have heard this 4 times, only got 2 more to go. Okay? Some of you have heard about half of this, so this will be your 2nd time. But some of you haven't heard it at all. And all it is really is the story of my life of Jesus. Okay? And there's a lot of scripture in there because that's where I live. And it's about this. This is a bean pot. Can you help me out, Chris? Okay? This is an antique. This was my wife's great-grandmother's bean pot. Okay? So we're going to put that aside for just a few minutes. Now, how this got started took place about 3 years ago in Lexington, Kentucky. And I was leading a men's group. It was called Iron Man 2 on Saturday mornings. And it was a group of guys. They got together. And on Saturday mornings, through the summer, at 8:30, and we went through the Word of God. And part of that, on a Sunday, our church was going through a series. It was called One and Done. And what that was every pastor was going to get up and give his one and done message. If he never spoke again to that congregation, these were his parting words. He wanted to be remembered by this. And that was extremely important to me. So I immediately began to pray. Lord, I prayed for the pastors and all of this. Now, I also have to tell you one other thing. I teach like a cross-eyed discus thrower. I'm not going to set any records, but I will keep the crowd alert. Okay? So, chances are good that I'm going to say something and somebody's going to go, what? So anyway, back to the one and done. And I started to pray, and I said, Lord, you know, be with Ernie as he gives his message and all of this. And as I was praying, he said to me, Mark, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, when the Lord and I have this kind of conversation, I know I'm about, this is a teachable moment for me.
Okay.
And people ask me all the time, do you really have that kind of conversation with God? Mm-hmm. And the answer is absolutely yes. Could somebody turn for me to John 6, 44 and 45 and read it? Whoever gets there first, just go ahead and read it. Go ahead.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me calls. And I raised them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets. They will be taught by God. Everyone listens to the Father and learns from him. Learns from him, comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God.
Okay, that's 44 and 45. Now, the first time I read that, I said, Lord, are you serious? If I read these scriptures, will you tell me what they mean? Will you explain this to me? He said, yes. So here's what happened. I took him at his word.
I said, okay, Lord.
This is the way it's going to be. Every time I open the Word of God, I want you to teach me. So when I do that, this is what I pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name I come. I invite you, my Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to be with me. Teach us what you would have us know. Show us what you would have us see. And tell us what you would have us hear. That we may be better, more willing, and obedient children of God. And Father God, this morning I pray that you would manifest your word in our hearts. Speak one word, Lord, of encouragement or a scripture that speaks to each member of your body today, so that they can write it on that card and manifest it as a life-changing moment. And we thank you in Jesus' name. So he's here right now, okay? And he's ready to speak to your heart. And when I speak, it's not Mark, it's him in me, through me, as me. So when I was praying for the one and done, the Lord asked me a question. He said, hey, Mark, what's your one and done for Iron Man 2? And I've been walking with the Lord for about 40 years now, so I knew enough, and he had taught me enough, not just to blurt out that answer, but to say, okay, Lord, what should my answer be? What should my one and done be? And he gave it to me. And it is Colossians 1, 25 through 29. And I'm just going to read that to you. He said, of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. Now, in my translation, the preaching of is in italics. And what that means is that those words weren't originally in the text. And what I discovered as I was doing the bean pot was that if I take those two words out, it gives the true meaning of what Paul was talking about. And what is true for each of us. It says, of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the word of God. Not just the preaching, but the full word of God. That means the way we live our lives, the actions that we take, the things that people see, and they look at us. And they have two choices. Wow, I want what that guy's got. Or, wow, I don't want to be a hypocrite like that person. That's the choice. So, keep going. This is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. That's us. To whom God wills to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, and with that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. It's all about him, his power, his work, his son in me. I have one part to play, and that is to be willing and obedient to allow him to live through me, as me, with me. And so I asked him, why? Why this message? Why is this important to you? Because I wanted to know his motivation. And if you think that we shouldn't do that, or aren't allowed to do that, or can't do that, please read the book of John completely through. And you will see in there over 20 times where Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. He had no will of his own, because he was a bondservant of God the Father, came only to do his will. So I knew I was on safe ground asking him this. What is your will for me in this one and done? And he told me, he said, Mark, ever since you were a young man, I was about 10 years old, sitting on the banks of the Olentangy River, when you invited me into your life, and I did that simply because I saw my father praying on his knees with such fervor and such passion that I didn't know God, but I knew that he had to be real. Because when my dad talked to God, it was one-on-one, real relationship. And I wanted that, even though I didn't know what it was. So I went down to the river, which is still my favorite place on earth today. It's the bend in the Olentangy River down at Northmore Park in Columbus, Ohio. And I sat on the rocks and I watched the water trickle over the rapids. And I said, Lord, I don't even know who you are. Okay? But I do know this, that you're real. And my dad believes in you. And if my dad believes in you that much, I want to be on your team. Boom! Right then, right there, I was changed. I didn't know what happened, but I knew something did happen. And he said to me, ever since that day, you have asked me, what can I do to show you that I love you more? That I love you. That I want to have this relationship with you. See, I didn't know anything about the Word of God at that time. So I figured, okay, I'm on the team, so I got to figure out what I got to do myself. Because that was what I thought. And you know what? That's what most people think today. That once we are saved, it's up to us to figure it out. Well, guess what? That's not right. So he said, ever since that day on the Olentangy River, you have wanted to know how you could show me that you love me more. And you know what it says in John 15:13. Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friend. You are my friend, I am your friend, and you have laid down your life for me, and I have laid down my life for you. And I want you to tell people what this is about. And I said, okay. So, here it comes, Mary Kay. When we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a two-part transaction that is available. But most people stop with the first transaction. And you're going to see this in John 11. And it starts in verse 39, where Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha and the sister of the deceased said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they removed the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that you did send me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" Now people think, wow, that's crazy, man. Why would he do that? The answer is, he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. If he would have just said, "Come forth," everything in that cave would have come out of there. Okay? And I can tell you this. It doesn't say this in the scripture, but I believe this. There were some dead people in there that were hoping that he was going to call their name, because they wanted another chance. Well, the bad news was, they'd had every chance that they needed throughout their lives, and they had rejected him. So if he's called you to come forth, it's time, today, right now, if you haven't done it. And that's the first part of the transaction. And that is where most churches stop their teaching. Now, I'm going to take a little sidebar here, and I'm going to tell you something. This church does not do that. They preach the whole Word of God. And when they teach you this, this is the second part of the transaction. This is the how am I supposed to live my life. Because it's not, okay, well, I got my fire insurance, now I'll figure it out on my own and I'll just walk the walk. I can tell you from personal experience, that is the most frustrating walk you will ever have. Because you can't figure it out on your own. Because the purpose of our life is to allow Christ to live His life through us, as us. And the only way that He can do that is if we realize it and say, okay, great. But you're going to live your life through me, as me? Yeah. That's what He created us for. He gave us the personality. He puts us in the places that we're located, so that He can minister to others through us. We are His body. We are His eyes, His ears, His hands, His feet. He doesn't have a physical body anymore on this earth. He has us. The question is, are we willing? And will we be obedient? Excuse me for just a second. So, that's the second part of the transaction, the new life. And then, he says, "He who had died came forth, bound head and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" That's the new life. What are we unbound from? The sin that we had in our lives. And I'm grateful for that. But it's more. It's the unforgiveness that we have in our hearts that He wants us to get rid of. Those are the chains that hold us back. He wants those gone, and He's released us from those chains. He has released us from the future sin that we will commit because he knows that we're not perfect. In him we are. He sees us as perfect. But our actions as we walk through this life is called sanctification, and it's a process. It happens throughout our lives. And that's what we walk with. He walks with us, through us, as us, and perfects us each day as we take each step and each breath. Okay? That's the new life. And if you got a question, you can say, Lord, what do I do now? What an awesome testimony. I will not lie anymore. I am not going to lie to my ex-husband just so that I can talk to my children, but I desperately want to talk to them. But you know what? God had a better plan.
Amen.
He wanted her to be able to see them and to spend time with them. So because she obeyed him, he gave her more. Okay? If you're in a tough spot, don't give up your integrity. Because integrity is one thing that you either have it or you don't. As Darren likes to say, you can't one cheek it. You can't have one cheek on and one cheek off. You can't do it. And the definition of integrity in my world is, it's what you do when nobody else is looking. Okay? So, you can lie to other people. You can't lie to the Lord. You can't lie to yourself. So, whatever you do, when nobody else is looking, that's what I call integrity. So, where does that leave us? Well, let's go to John chapter 14, 1 through 6. What is this? What is this new life? And it says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Here's the new life. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, going back to my early days, when I came to know the Lord, he said, now Mark, there's more. I said, oh, that's great. So I kept trying to figure out what the more was. And I was 19 years old and I met the love of my life. And I figured, well, maybe that's the more. Maybe he'll give me a life partner and I'll love her and she'll love me. And then that's the more. Well, we got married and we love each other. But the Lord said, Mark, there's more. And I said, wow. Okay. Well, then we started having kids, and I thought maybe the kids makes it more. Well, that's a yes and a no.
Yeah.
Okay? Maybe they got kids, depending on how old they are. I got to tell you, I got a son up in Alabama who's going through a real difficult time right now. And he's 43 years old. So it doesn't stop just because they get older and because they're out of the house. The things just change. But when we depend on him, we know that we're on the rock. And we can take it. And we can guide them back to Jesus. And there's a lot of people in here that I know that have had that same experience when push has really come to shove. And they've counted on Jesus. But, you know, things kept going and going and going. And the Lord would say, there's more. And I got frustrated because I was trying to live the life that I knew he wanted me to live, but I couldn't do it in my own strength, and I didn't have any additional guidance and direction. And I'm reading the Bible, and I read that scripture. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And what I thought that said was, I will show you the way. I will tell you the truth. And
I lived a life
that is an example for you to follow.
That's what I thought that meant.
But it is not what that means. I was sitting at Iron Man 2 on a Saturday morning,
and
I had hit the wall of frustration. And anybody that knows me knows that I can be pretty intense
when
I get pushed up to the limit. And the Lord knew that. It was a brother that was sitting there that had
the answer that God had
wanted to give me for the last 2 years. But I didn't ask the right question. And I was going through a very, very difficult struggle. And I said to Larry, who was sitting there by himself, Larry, I got a question. And the Lord must have spoke to him because he backed up. And he knew what was coming and the force that it was going to come with. And I told him what the struggle was. And I said, Larry, how am I supposed to live with that? And he said, Mark, you're not. And I said, what? What are you talking about? He said, look at John 14:6. Says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
I said, yeah, I read that. I know what it says. He says, no, you don't. What it says is, I will live my life through you. I am the way. I am your truth. I am your life. He is that in you, with you, as you, and in my case, sometimes in spite of me. Okay? But that's what it means. And I thought, wow, what a transformation. What a change of perspective. I'm like, you mean to tell me, Lord, that you're going to live your life in me? He said, yes. I will walk that difficulty with you every day of your life. Now, does that mean it goes away? No. It just means that we can walk in victory with Him. Okay? And what else does it mean? These are things that He says in John 14, verse 12. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Well, you know what? If we're going to do the works that Jesus did, we've got to do them the same way he did them. And that was through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we say, well, yeah, but he was Jesus. Well, that's right. He was Jesus, and he still is Jesus. And he also says in John chapter 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. Now, anybody who was here last week has heard this before. This isn't new. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but because they do not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides in you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more. But you will behold me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. We can't do those works on our own, in our own strength. It can't happen. But Him in us, if He tells us to do something, guess what? He doesn't expect us to do it. He expects it to do it through us. He's the one that's going to do the work. Okay? So, really happens when we become a new creature. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Starting in verse 15. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, now we don't see him in the flesh any longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all these things are from God. Doesn't say it's my work or my effort. It's from God, who reconciled us to him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God would in himself... God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their transgressions against them, and he was committed and he has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that's the new transaction. Old things are passed away, new things have come. Well, I must be pretty special. If that's the case, my goodness, I'm a new creature, and I'm in Jesus. So I'm going to go out and tell everybody what they're doing wrong. Okay, I'm gonna tell them how good I am, and how I know more than you do, and you ought to be like me. Well, you know, if that's the case, you're one of those hypocrites that we're talking about. But let's turn back a page so that we can look at what vessel God uses to deliver his message. It's in 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 7. And this is what we have to look forward to. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be in God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. That's what's manifested in our lives. Somebody want to turn to, here's another real encouragement. Turn to Jeremiah 18, 2 through 6. Somebody. Read that for me, if you would. Jeremiah 18, 2 through 6.
You got it, Darren? I was underlining the...
Oh, okay. Who's got it? Go ahead.
Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me.
Just keep going.
He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? Declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned.
Okay, that's... I had somebody come up to me and just basically tell me that that's what had happened in their life this morning. You know, things were going along this way, and it was really good, and then all of a sudden it wasn't good, and then the whole thing fell apart. So the clay pot that was being constructed on the wheel was bashed and is now being remolded. Okay? Let's go to Isaiah. Verse 8.
Do I just read it?
Yeah, just read it.
Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand.
Okay. We are the clay. He is the potter. And he has the right to do with us what he decides is best. And as I was going through this process back in Lexington, wondering about this Christ in you, the hope of glory, I was saying, Lord, how am I going to make this come alive? How are you going to make this come alive? And I was sitting in my living room in Lexington, Kentucky, and my eyes came on this. It's a bean pot, an antique. And I thought, what are you talking about? And he says, what are some of the uses for that bean pot? And I'd like to ask that to you. What can this thing be used for?
Cooking jar.
Cooking. Beans. A flower vase. A flower vase. Okay. Fill it with tea.
Sourdough.
You can spill the beans. But what happens if you fill this with tea and you can take this tea to someone that is dying of thirst, literally dying of thirst, and you have this pot, it's full of tea or full of water, and you can take it to that person and give them a drink of water. Wow. You just saved their life. How much would that be worth to that person? Everything. That's what this can do. Okay? Now, who has the right to rule over this bean pot? This pot. My wife does, because it's her pot. Yeah. And the Lord asked me, who has the right to rule over your life? And I said, well, you do. He said, right. That's it. So, we have this precious gift of Christ in us, the hope of glory. But it's not up to us to use it. It's up to Him. Okay, now this bean pot came with a lid. All right? But I lost it. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's going to ruin my presentation. Guess what? It doesn't. It makes the presentation better. I need somebody to turn to. Ephesians 1:13. And I need somebody to turn to Genesis 6:14. Who's got Ephesians 1:13? You can read it. Darren, go ahead.
And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
How about Genesis 6:14? Go ahead.
Make a boat for resinous wood and seal it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior.
Okay. In Genesis 14, the word was pitch. What that means is, it's a covering, it's a coating, it's also a ransom. It's a redemptive price. It is the satisfaction of a debt. Now, we owed a great debt, and someone else paid for that so that we don't have to.
Why? Because we can't pay it. There's no way. And that word sealed in Ephesians is stamped with a signet ring. I don't know how many of you know things about ancient Roman times, but when the king put his seal on something, this is from the king. This is mine. Period. Okay? It is a mark. It means to keep, to attest. That means to give testimony under oath at a trial. And to seal up. To keep safe. Who does that? Is it my own effort? Is it my works? Is it me trying harder to figure it out? Only Christ can do that. And so many people think that Hebrew Scripture has no value. Well, what? It's the same way in the Old Testament as it is in the New. Christ puts his seal on us, and it is forever. So, he not only is the lid, he seals the lid. Okay? So, we're going to do something right now. Reach in there and pull something out, please. These are the contents. This is what makes this bean pot valuable. This is the water that you're going to be able to bring to a dying person. Be very careful with that. That's very important. Now, if you've got something out of the bean pot, I need you to look up the scripture that's on the tag, because we're going to have to fly through this.
There are several.
Yeah, okay. If there's several, get the people beside you to help you. Okay? All right. This is the contents of the bean pot. This is Christ in you. Who has the phone? What does it say? Psalm 50:15. It says, call on me in your time of trouble and I will rescue you and you will give me glory. We are to call on him. Because he lives inside of us, that's not a long distance call. Okay? And guess what? The phone is never busy. Okay? Who has... This is dehydrated fruit. When I picked this off the tree, there was fruit around that, but what it has revealed is there's a seed. And the seed is where the life of this tree is. It's in that seed. But what is the scripture that goes with this? That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the fruit of Mark. And who has the right to access that fruit? Who is the only one that knows how to use that fruit? It's Jesus. It's not me. I can't access it. He can. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Who has the compass? Okay? Just read John 14:6. Yes. He is the compass.
we don't read the compass and figure out which way to go. He is the compass. He does take us through life. We walk through life together. Who has binoculars? What does it say? Proverbs 29:18.
Where there is no prophetic vision, the people are discouraged.
He is our vision. We look at Jesus. We don't look at the world because the world is not a very pretty place. But we look at Jesus and we see the vision. Okay, who has the flashlight? What does it say? John 8:12. His light in us, shining, and people seeing it. And what do they see? They see the fruit of the Spirit. And they say, wow, that's what I want. There's only one way to have it. I'm going to go talk to that person, whoever they are. Okay? There's somebody that has a set of earplugs. So, okay.
That's Revelation 2:7.
Yes.
Anyone who is willing to hear should listen to the Spirit and understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
Okay. That's fine. He, my translation says, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. If we don't have spiritual ears, we can't hear what he has to say. So if we're going to try to talk to somebody about the love of Christ and God is already drawing him, we have the right to say, Lord, I'm pretty sure they don't have spiritual ears right now. Would you give them ears to hear? Guess what? He'll do it. Because he said it. He who has ears, let him hear. Who's got the eye drops? Little bottle. Gary.
Ephesians 1:18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints.
That is so powerful. His inheritance is us. Now, who here, if you have anything that you're going to pass on to your children, is going to destroy it? That's their inheritance. Well, we are God's inheritance. And how do we see him? With the eyes of our hearts. So, Lord, enlighten our hearts. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we can see what is the riches of your glory. Okay? That's how we see. Who has a medicine bottle?
I do.
What's... Shake that, would you please? Just shake the bottle. It's empty. Mm-hmm. What was in there before? There was medicine. What's the purpose of taking medicine? To get well. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, if you would please read that scripture.
My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. I like the next one, though.
What's that?
Above all else, guard your heart.
Amen.
For it is the wellspring of life.
What was that verse?
That was the next one, 23.
Yeah, what chapter verse?
That was, Proverbs 4:20-22. And 23, I think.
I added 23.
Okay. But the reality is that medicine bottle is empty.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So what did my wife do with that medicine? She took it.
Right.
This is God's medicine that you're holding in your hands. It can heal your soul. It can reunite your spirit with him. It can bring health to your body. So we have to take the medicine in order for it to work. And in order to do that, we have to do what? We have to spend time with him. Okay? Who has the pass card?
I think I do.
Okay.
I have trouble reading. Is that John?
John 10? 7 through 9.
So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them.
I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.
Brothers and sisters, I got to tell you something. If you don't have this pass card, you're not getting it. That's all there is to it. You may have been able to bamboozle and hornswoggle and do whatever in life. But when you come face to face with God the Father Almighty, and He says, why should I let you in? If you can't point to Jesus and say, because He's my Savior, you don't have the right pass card. You best be getting it, like right now. Okay? Who has the pocket knife?
I did.
Okay, Ephesians, give me a Hebrew. Which one do you have?
I have all three of them.
Okay, go to Hebrews 4:12, please.
For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
That's the word of God. That's where we have to spend time with Him. Okay? Who has the roll of tape?
I do.
That is waterproof tape that you have. Do you know what scripture it is?
Colossians 1:16-17.
Please read that.
For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together.
That's the tape. Okay? Who has a salt packet? Okay. Go ahead.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men.
You know, I have trouble with this.
What's that verse?
It's Matthew 5:13. It's Hebrews 4:12. Oh, and the tape.
All things are held together.
Yes. All things are held together. That's Colossians 1:16-17. I had some trouble with that salt packet. I said, Lord, I don't get that. You know, it doesn't have as much meaning to me as the others do. I can really relate to that. He says, what's the purpose of salt? Adds flavor. Ah. So if I am salt and adding flavor to someone else's life, that's showing fruit, which is what they want. But if I don't have salt, bland, this is what happens in my own effort. It's bland, it's dry, it's tasteless, it's flavorless, there's no life in it. So that's what the salt's for. Does someone have the medallion? Did I give that out? Yes. Yes. 2:14. Ephesians 2:14. This is a medallion of Christ on the cross. Okay? Go ahead.
For He is our peace. He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall from the
He is our peace. What else was on there? Okay.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Okay, once again, He is our peace. Okay?
Colossians 1:20, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross.
He is our peace. He is our reconciliation. These are things that He is in us. Okay? So, I'd like to conclude real quickly with three scriptures. John 6:44-45, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Anyone who, as it says in the scriptures, everyone will be taught by God. Whoever hears and learns from him comes to me. Another not too well-known verse is Acts 4:13-14. And to paraphrase, Peter and John were standing before the Sanhedrin. And they were accused. And the Sanhedrin came to know something. These guys are uneducated. They haven't been to school. They don't have any material wealth. But they knew that a man got healed in their presence. And they knew this. They knew that he had spent time with Jesus. Okay? And the last one is in Isaiah. It's 1:18-21. And it says, if you will be willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land. And that's what we all want. But what do we have to do? We have to be willing to listen to him and obey what he says. Then we can eat the best of the land. So, my friends, if you want to be like Peter and John, we just have to hang out with Jesus. Okay? And the way that we hang out with Jesus is in his word. And we listen to him and we take him at his word, like it says in John 6:44-45. And when we do this, it will change our lives. And his fruit will be visible through us. Okay? And I know I'm over, and I apologize. But Father God, in Jesus' name we come and thank you. Thank you that you are here with us today. That you have spoken to your children's hearts. And I thank you that you are manifesting that word to each and every one right here, right now, today. In Christ's name, amen. Have a great week.